You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Change the poll question. Has to do with who's a Pro Bowl player over the next 2 years, Carson Wentz or J.J. Watt? Who saw that poll question coming? You can dial us up. You can email, tweet, all the above. You can watch on Peacock, our TV partner, and listen on our great radio affiliates around the country. Hearing a lot more conversation about James Harden, MVP. Last night, triple-double, no turnovers, playing great. And he is your point guard with the Nets, which was the wise decision by Kyrie Irving. Not that he had a decision to make. And he said, well, James is going to be our point guard. Yes, because he passes the ball and he can be a very good passer. But my problem with James Harden being an MVP is he quit on his previous team. Can you be the most valuable player in the league if you quit on your team earlier in that same season? And the answer is no. No, James Harden is not an MVP. Can have a great year, not a most valuable player. You quit on your team in Houston. This is a team that you helped build. You decided who you wanted to get rid of. And then all of a sudden you looked around and you went, we're not any good. I want out of here. And then you got your wish. So you go to a team that's got a couple other superstars on it. You're playing well. Congratulations. All-star? Yep. No problem with that. Not an MVP. You can't be an MVP if you quit on your previous team. And he did. Absolutely. He quit on the floor. Great player. You know how I feel about him with his talents, what he does, how he does it. He's one of the more remarkable players that I've seen in nearly 50 years watching the NBA. But he quit on his team. He forced his way out. He's not the MVP. Now you can say, well, is he the MVP of the Nets? Yeah, okay, fine. I'll give you that. But I have to factor in everything. It's not like, hey, second half of the season or whatever it might be, this is a guy that might have a great regular season. He's had many great regular seasons. Team does nothing when they get to the postseason. But the MVP conversation, now, if you want to put LeBron in there, fine. Joel Embiid in there. Joel Embiid should be probably the front runner right now. I know a lot of people thought Luka Doncic. My point was I was not picking Doncic to win the MVP this year because the team was not going to be formidable. And you got to have a good team. You got to be a great player on a really good team or a good team just to qualify. You know, we're not taking teams that don't make the playoffs or barely make the playoffs. And Luka Doncic is great, but he's not going to be the most valuable player. Yeah, Paulie.
Right now, LeBron is the favorite, the Vegas favorite. Joel Embiid is second. Jokic third. Jokic or Jokic?
Either one.
All right. Steph Curry fourth, Luka fifth, then Giannis.
All right. I mean, I'd put Jokic in there too. He's been, you know, incredible. But I want to see what your team is doing as well. I think that should factor in. Steph Curry is going to have a great year, but I don't know if this team is going to make the playoffs. Yeah, McClubb.
I'm getting a little tired of MVPs who aren't champions. Like, I don't like that one. I think the MVP should be given out at the end of the year. Giannis losing twice in the playoffs as MVP puts a damper on the award.
Well, it would change the award drastically when you think about it if we gave out the MVP after the postseason.
Last year, it probably would have changed, right?
Yes, because I think that is the toughest road to a championship that LeBron has ever had, given everything that was factored in there with the pandemic, in the bubble, all of those things. No home court advantage, which is what you play for during the regular season, and you didn't have that, and they end up winning the title. But it is a regular season MVP, and there's a postseason MVP. Yeah, McLovin.
But it's not called the 2019 NBA regular season MVP. I don't know why we always call it a regular season award. It's not in the bylaws. I mean, it is technically a regular season award, but it shouldn't be.
Well, when the voting takes place, it's based off the regular season, just like Rookie of the Year.
But why? Why do we always start doing it this way? Just because we overemphasize the playoffs?
Well, we do that in every sport. You have a regular season MVP. So why?
It just waters down the award. Like, obviously, Kawhi was the man 2 years ago. LeBron was the man last year. You know, you're talking to Shaq. Like, Steve Nash.
Yeah, but was Kawhi the MVP? If I take away the postseason, is he the MVP?
No, but he was the most important player in the league 2 years ago. Wasn't he? I mean, he single-handedly won the title.
Well, he didn't single-handedly.
I mean, they had a big deal.
Yes, he did. He played great. He's not a great regular season. Remember when we were trying to force this conversation of Kawhi is better than LeBron? Where's that conversation been? It seemed to go away. Because they were trying to make this a story so you could put LeBron in a conversation, a talking point, and then that gave you a full segment on these shows. That's all this was. Kawhi's still not a better player than LeBron James, in my opinion. Kevin Durant is still not a better player than LeBron James, in my opinion. They're wonderful players. But we keep trying to put the... At some point, somebody is going to be better than LeBron. Now, Greek Freak has been great. But when LeBron retires, then somebody will be, they're better than LeBron James. Yes, Eden.
But for a brief period of time, both of those guys were better than him.
Well, I didn't know if KD was because he was doing it with an all-star team. I mean, what Steph did was more impressive than what KD did, in my opinion.
But there was that window where KD was clearly unstoppable. At least that was the perception, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he is unstoppable.
Yeah.
But he's not a better player than LeBron James. KD doesn't impact a game the way LeBron does. He's improved defensively. You know, LeBron, it still comes down to game on the line. I want LeBron over KD. Yes.
And then there was that moment, too, where it felt like a real coming out party for Kawhi, where you're like, wow, this dude's arrived. Absolutely. He is a force. And you felt like in that moment, he was the future. He was better than LeBron. He was the best.
He was great in the postseason. But, you know, go back to San Antonio. He wasn't the best player on that team when they won a championship. He was on that team and was great, you know, in the playoffs and in the finals. But we keep trying to force these things. It's because we want what's next, what's new. We don't want to sit there and go, yeah, LeBron's great. I mean, LeBron without AD, oh, he's not the MVP. Okay. Like, I know LeBron wants to win another MVP, but it'll all sort itself out here where we want to decide. Here it is, February. Who's the MVP? We got a lot of basketball left. When did we start? What was the earliest we started with who's the MVP in the NFL this year? We're starting earlier and earlier.
This year we went crazy. In week three, Russell Wilson was the MVP.
Yes, but we start and we never let up. And then who's the MVP? Week to week, who's the MVP? It seems like it's every couple of weeks in the NBA. Who's the MVP? All right. You want to give it to Joel Embiid? Give it to Joel Embiid. I'm fine with that. The Joker. Give it to him. Fine with that. But pushing this, well, LeBron, Kawhi. He hears Kawhi's footsteps there. Okay. Maybe. All I know is you take Kawhi and I'll take LeBron. I'm okay with that. Even LeBron at his age. I'll take him. Yeah, Paul.
I found a great interview. I was looking up Steph Curry stuff. Steph Curry was on our show in August of 15, right before the 15-16 season. And you asked him what he thought was the best offensive player in the NBA, and he said himself. And it got a lot of reaction. Yeah. Steph was coming off a season where he averaged 23.8. He wasn't in the top five scorers. The next year, he averaged 30 points a game, led the league in points, three-pointers, everything, and that all calmed down.
Yeah. And look, you want to give James Harden consideration for the MVP, I don't vote on the award. Not anymore. But I don't think you can be most valuable after you quit on a team. This is the full season we're talking about. Now, if you said the previous year they quit on his team and then in the offseason he got traded, now we have a different conversation. But he forced his way out. He hurt a team. Yeah, Paul.
I got some stats on Embiid that show his improvement. He's averaging 30 points a game this year. 4 years ago, he was shooting 45% from the field. He's up to 52. He's shooting 42% from three. He doesn't take a lot, but he makes them. The big thing for Joel Embiid, he shoots 86% from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. He's not a liability. He's actually a bonus there. He was 78% 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those where can somebody stay, like Doc Rivers, you know, has played with greats, played against greats. He's been in the league for such a long period of time that if your star player listens to your coach, and it sounds like, well, of course they do. No, that's not always the case. Players will tune out a coach, or they want to know what you've accomplished. Like Chuck Daly's role with the Detroit Pistons, to be able to have all those personalities there, what he did was truly remarkable. And Pat Riley would wear out his welcome with his players, famously wear out his welcome. He was so tough on everybody, the veterans. But that ability to have them respect you, listen to you, I think that's really important for Joel Embiid's development. Because in college, all he had to do was stay healthy, but he couldn't stay healthy. And then when he went to the Sixers, was he in shape? Was he going to stay healthy? And I think that if he gets to that point where all of a sudden diet's important, workout, off-season, all of those things, like you truly dedicate yourself, then you might see something that's even scarier than what you're seeing with Joel Embiid. But I have no problem if he's your front runner for the MVP here at the beginning of March. I hate to be the nation's conscience when it comes to sports thoughts here, stories, opinions, but I have to be. Yeah, I have to do it, Seton.
It's a burden.
Yeah, it is.
Heavy as the head.
Yes, it is. That lies the crown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And who comes up with heavy as the head that
wears the crown?
Wears the crown? Okay. Yeah, and the lies the crown.
Yeah, because they have it. That means that they're the one in charge.
Yeah,
that means that they have all the pressure on them.
But yeah, the crown.
That's what that,
the crown.
Like the king.
Yeah, it can be heavy.
Correct.
Yeah. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
It's not a statement on the size of one's head or anything,
no,
like
it's
a bulbous head, nothing
no,
like
no,
that.
No, because that'd be Ross Tucker, who's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Yes, Paul?
Speaking of the crown, I was reading a story about Prince Harry yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you choose when you're royal and when you're not? Like, can you leave the royal family and then can you go back to the royal family? Like, once you're not royal again, is it like Superman and the thing that he went through? Are you no longer royal? And can you recapture your royalty? Because he said, while he's not really involved in the royal family now, he always will be.
Well, that's with spirit.
Right. But is it a designation that you're royalty? How's it work over there?
Yeah, I think you have to be accepted by the Queen Mum. But, you know, I think they can decide. Like you get excommunicated. I think it's that if you're out, you're out. But if you want to come back, then you probably have to go through a process here.
To re-royal yourself.
Yes, something like that. Yes, McClellan.
So this is the single only topic of conversation in my house. My wife's obsessed with Harry. We broke down the James Corden interview like it was the Zapruder films.
Yeah.
He is definitely distancing himself hardcore from.
Oh, yeah.
And for good reason. And he was a great interview. He cast the movie about how they're going to do the royal family. It's really funny.
Yeah. No, I've always appreciated Harry, but I think he realized that his wife was going to be subjected to what his mother was subjected to. And he didn't want to relive that. Who would want to relive that? I mean, they're relentless there. They're tapping your phones over there. I mean, just. Now, she should have known what she was signing up for, which it sounds like she didn't realize that. But I think they do now, obviously, as they've relocated to Oprah's neighborhood. And Oprah has to sit down with them coming up. Yeah, see.
I give Harry a lot of credit for walking away from that life.
Mm.
But he is fifth in line.
I
mean, it's not like he's next man up, all right? He's behind Charles, William's two kids, and then it's him. He's actually one ahead of Prince Andrew, who's got all kinds of other issues to be concerned about. Is he walking away from a cushy life where, you got a bunch of public obligations and whatnot, but everything's safe? Sure, but it's not like he's walking away from being the king.
But that's like saying I'm Patrick Mahomes' backup quarterback. I'm not going to really stick around for this. Yeah, you're not going to play, but what a great job. You just sit there. You get to watch games. Prince Harry is like Patrick Mahomes' backup, whoever that is. You're never really getting
in. I don't think it sounds that much fun to play the role of Prince Harry over there, where you get dressed up in a little military outfit occasionally, and it doesn't seem like anything's real over there.
But he's on full scholarship for life, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot that goes along with that. Like, I'd rather just chill. He lives in Montecito. Have you been to Montecito?
Yeah.
You should go. He just chills. You,
Oprah's the queen there.
Yes, but you go out back, you know, have a beer, smoke a cigar, chill a little bit.
But does he have to get a job or anything? Or does
they just signed a $100 million deal with Netflix, I think.
To do what? Like a reality series?
Do documentaries and stuff.
I wonder if they're going to do one of those things. Like, remember Paris Hilton Lionel Richie's daughter had that thing where they went and like, oh, we're going to go raise chickens now. And they did all these like dirty jobs because they were these heiresses. I wonder if they're going to do one of those like dirty jobs things. Like, what happens when Harry becomes...
Next week.
Yeah. Harry becomes a roofer. Let's see what happens when he... He's putting on a roof in the middle of
yes, Todd.
Now, does Prince William and Kate Middleton to that point love it so much? Or is it because they're next in line? Because that would be a big deal then. But they're like, we'll put up with it because we're going to be king and queen someday. But if we weren't, I hate this just like my brother does. I don't need to have to live this life.
I don't know. They're going to be pretty powerful people. They're in line to be. You got to sign up for it. You got to be ready for it. But, I mean, I agree with Seton. Like, Harry, hey, I'm going to give this up. Oh, my God, you're courageous. Hey, little do they know, I have no shot at being the king, so why don't I get out of here? Yeah, Seton.
And, yeah, I mean, like, when you look at it, okay, Queen Mum, she's 94. And then Charles is in his 70s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not on deck yet, but you're putting your batting gloves on.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
That's a big controversy. Does Charles pass over himself for William? Do they go straight to William? Because I think it's a PR move.
That's what I would do.
Thursday's poll.
That's what. No. We can't wait till Thursday. We have to do it tomorrow.
Hour three poll.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm Charles, I probably go, I don't want to do
it. You've been waiting your whole life for this.
I don't know if England is waiting for Charles to rule the roost there.
He's like Chase Daniel. He's sitting around waiting for his turn for 15 years. Got lots of dough. He's Chase Daniel.
Jim Sorge. Yeah, I don't think so. If I'm England, I would go, let's bring in Wills. Let's get started with somebody younger here. That's what I never understood about the Pope. The Pope, they bring in a new Pope and he's like 88 years old. And you're like, how about we think bigger picture here? Huh?
Oh, like a nice 23-year-old, well, more rangy?
No, I don't think that you could be qualified to be a pope at 23.
So like 58 would be young.
Yeah, that would be young for the pope. But they're like, the plume of white smoke, and they have elected the new pope, and he is 88-year-old. He's in a walker, and it's Pope whoever. And you go, why couldn't we get around to... All right, let me take a break. Ross Tucker is going to join us. Talk some football with him.
Nice.
NBA. The new Peacock original Punky Brewster is perfect for the whole family. Best of all, it's free. The beloved, or is it beloved, McLovin?
I have no idea.
Beloved 80s icon is all grown up and raising kids on her own. All episodes streaming free, exclusively at Peacock. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to get started. Take a break. 20 after the hour. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. All of it. It's like getting a birthday card that's shaped like cash, so you know it's got cash inside. Then you open it up. And then you find out it's your first year cashback match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cashback match is what it's called. Conveniently called cashback match. Only by Discover card. And you can learn a whole lot more than what I'm telling you right now at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app. At FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Sign up, go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner, we'll hear from Kyle in California, and then we'll get to Ross Tucker. Hey, Kyle, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, DP?
Hey,
newsletter, fantastic, by the way. I've missed way too many shows lately, but the newsletter really gets it all, just saying.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask McLovin if he wanted Kyle Lowry on the Sixers, one thing. Second thing, nobody's talking about the Jazz anymore. That was funny. That lasted a week. That was cool. I guess they're not winning it anymore. And then third thing, I'm totally with you. Don't even bring up James Harden's name. I was watching the game when he quit on them against the Lakers. He threw a pass, basically out of bounds, past John Wall. And John Wall was like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, he came to the MVP, just quit on a team. Are you kidding me? I can't believe actual NBA writers bring that up. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, thank you, Kyle. Glad we're in sync on that. Yeah, James Harden's fascinating to watch, but I'm not going to give him MVP. With what happened in Houston, he forced his way out, quit on his team. No, not going to do it. Ross Tucker never quit on any of his teams. Some of his teams ask him to quit. The former NFL player, now the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, also the analyst for Westwood One, kind enough to join us. How are you, Ross?
Dan, I'm fantastic, except I'm on chat row right now at danpatrick.com, and I can't figure out how to change my avatar. I got to get this beautiful meathead James Vanderbeek picture on there. So I'm just I'm like the people on Twitter I hate right now. I'm a nameless, faceless guy.
You do look like a bigger James Vanderbeek. I see it. Like a thicker, beefier James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, I've always gotten that one and Putty from Seinfeld. Those are the two I've gotten a million times. The thing is like, I don't think either one of those guys look like each other. I don't get the meathead Vanderbeek one. I kind of get the Putty one. He's a big guy. Go Devils. Got to support the team. I never really understood the Vanderbeek one, but enough people say it. And I don't know how we – one day you were out and I was filling in. They call me Meathead Vanderbeek, and it's stuck ever since.
Well, Fritzy looks like Paulie from Rocky.
Which I hate.
But he does look like Paulie from Rocky.
Hey there, Rocco.
You know what? I never heard that before, and – Fritzy, I kind of see it a little bit.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. And
I can't remember what movie it was, but what is up with you taking all of Rocky's hard-earned money? I mean, he's in there punching people, getting punched, and then you spend and blow all his money, Fritzy?
It's terrible. I think
was that Rocky IV that you did then?
Yeah, in the Soviet Union there?
Yeah.
I think that was the one. I was pocketing
stuff. All right, your reaction to J.J. Watt going to Arizona is what?
Watt? Initial reaction, Dan, was surprise because it hadn't been one of the teams that had been reported, right? You'd heard a lot about the Bills, the Browns, certainly the Packers. It felt like the Arizona Cardinals kind of came out of nowhere. You know, look, I'll be honest, Dan, I think he went to the place that offered him the most money, and I've got no problem with that whatsoever. You know, I think a lot of times people say, he should have gone here for a ring or should have gone there for a ring. Like, look at the Vegas odds, okay? It's really hard to win a ring. So would the Packers have a better chance than the Cardinals? Yeah. Would the Buffalo Bills have a better chance than the Cardinals? Probably. But the Packers haven't been in the Super Bowl in 10 years. So, okay, he goes there, marginally better chance to go to the Super Bowl, or he goes to Buffalo Bills. They haven't been in the Super Bowl in almost 30 years, whatever it is. I think the only thing – you know for sure, Dan, is the money that you're going to get from that contract. And I know fans don't want to hear this, and I know all of your listeners want guys to just go where they think they have a best chance to win a ring. Is it likely in Arizona? Probably not. But this is his last big bite at the apple. They gave him the most guaranteed money, it sounds like, by far. I don't blame him one bit. They don't have as good a chance to win the Super Bowl as some of these other teams, but they do have a chance. They're not a terrible team, and he gets the guaranteed money he was looking for. I don't blame him.
I think this just comes down to lifestyle for J.J. Watt, and I have no problem with that. I know we want guys to chase the ring until they chase the ring, and then we criticize you for chasing the ring. I think J.J. Watt probably looked at this and said, it's a good team, maybe not a great team. I can be a leader there. And, you know, his wife is from Utah. Maybe this is just comes down to something simple of, you know, the money was important, but lifestyle as well. If you've been to Scottsdale this time of the year, it's a wonderful place to live. And maybe that's all this was. All right, a couple other things here. I mentioned first hour, I have the perfect landing spot for Alex Smith. Washington football team doesn't want him anymore. He's 36 years of age. And do you want to know what my pick is?
I have a guess.
Okay.
I was not listening. I'm going to guess Chicago Bears.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, interesting.
Reunited with Urban Meyer. At age 36, you're going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence. You're able to sort of be that liaison, backup quarterback, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, whatever it is. And not a lot of pressure there. Maybe you start out as the starter as Trevor Lawrence gets acclimated there. But I thought Alex Smith on that roster made a whole lot of sense for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard that, Dan. I like it. What I really like the most about it is for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Alex Smith is an awesome guy, consummate professional. If you listen to Patrick Mahomes talk about Alex Smith and what Alex did for Mahomes that first year, Patrick Mahomes gives Alex Smith a ton of credit. So from Jacksonville's perspective, it absolutely makes sense, especially with Trevor having this torn labrum shoulder surgery. Maybe you don't want him out there week one. Maybe he needs a couple weeks. The thing I don't like about it, Dan, I don't think Alex wants to really be a backup. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think Alex wants to play. I mean, he's made a ton of money.
He may not have a choice, though.
I think you're right. I think it'd be tough for any team right now to say Alex Smith is our guy. You know, the one place right now is that maybe Matt Nagy, who worked with him in Kansas City, thinks I can win 10 games with Alex. He'll be better than Trubisky or Foles would be. But, you know, that injury he suffered, Dan, is just so tricky. There's a reason why he had calf issues at the end of the season. There's a reason why he couldn't play in the playoff game. I don't think any team is going to hitch their wagon, Alex Smith. I think you're right. And I think Jacksonville probably does end up becoming maybe his best spot.
We haven't had you on since the Russell Wilson story blew up and the fact that his agent publicly says to Adam Schefter, hey, if we want to stay, but if we get traded, here's the four teams here. To me, that felt like that's the end. That's you can't be one foot in and one foot out. You can't be sort of pregnant. And it feels like, hey, we want to stay, but what do you think happens with Russell Wilson eventually?
Yeah, so two separate and distinct things here in my mind. Number one, you know, for him to go on with you and say the things that he said, I was really surprised. I've always been a big Russell Wilson fan, big Russell Wilson supporter. But to say that he's tired of getting hit so much, you know, hey, Russell, you kind of have the ball in your hand. You kind of control that. How about throwing the ball away? How about getting rid of the ball sooner? You know, I will just tell you, as a former offensive lineman, I took offense to that, right? Like, that was like publicly calling out his offensive line, and to some extent in my mind, publicly calling himself out. What happened to that personal accountability, personal responsibility? You don't see Tom Brady say, I'm sick of getting hit too much, or Drew Brees. They get rid of the ball. So that bothered me. And then this whole thing of he doesn't want to go somewhere else, but if he does, these are the team. What does that even mean? He doesn't want to go somewhere else, but if he does, these are the teams. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, Dan, if he really wants to leave, or if he's figured out that the best way to have everybody talking about you is to leak that you want to go somewhere else and to even start to leak specific. I mean, people in Chicago are going crazy. I saw some guy tweet that Russell Wilson saying he wanted to go to the Bears is the third best quarterback in Bears history. Just Russell Wilson saying he wanted to go to the Bears. I mean,
And
why would he want to go there? Why would you want to go to the Bears? Like, that doesn't make sense.
That was Paulie who tweeted that, Ross. It was. Paulie said it's the third greatest moment for a potential Bears quarterback that Russ just mentioned the Bears on his wish list of four. You just think he wants to be talked about, and that's why they're leaking all of this?
There are people that believe that Russell Wilson sort of fancies himself, Dan, as like the football Magic Johnson over the next 10, 20 years of his life and wants to have that type of business impact. He is really into investing. He's really into doing deals where he gets equity. And he's got a lot of people that he talks to, it's my understanding. And I think that part of it might be, I don't think it's all of it. I think there is some frustration that they haven't been able to get back to the Super Bowl. But let's just say this. I think he has realized that his name being in the news is not a negative for all of the other things he wants to accomplish off the field.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, former NFL player and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Also, Ross's birthday today. Happy birthday, Ross.
Thank you. I am twice the legal drinking limit, so I will have some daddy sodas tonight. I will say this, Dan. I don't like birthdays anymore. I'm at the age where I no longer like. I'm like 42. I don't like birthdays. My wife thinks I'm weird. She's like, well, it's better than the alternative, but I'm not loving birthdays anymore. I think up until like 35, I still liked my birthday. Now I'm like, no, we don't need to talk about it. And maybe that means I'm a weirdo now. I don't know. I'm not loving it.
You weren't playing in February or March, so you wouldn't get gifts from your teammates when you played, right?
No, but, you know, we obviously got gifts around Christmas time. There were some guys that were better than others, Dan. Look, Drew Bledsoe, the 1 year he got us two plane tickets anywhere you wanted to go. So that's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon, to Hawaii, thanks to Bledsoe's plane tickets. The next year he gave us a Motorola Droid Razor when that was like the coolest phone. And he paid the bill unlimited minutes for like 3 years until his mom called me and was like, hi, Ross, this is Barbara Bledsoe, Drew's mom. The gift is over now. Meanwhile, Dan, there was Emmett Smith, who my second year, I started the last seven games for Emmett. He gave us signed Emmett Smith all-time leading rusher book, signed Emmett Smith jersey, and a signed bottle of Emmett Smith all-time leading rusher wine, a wine bottle that he signed. It was amazing.
So you were probably mad when Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe because that meant you were not getting any great gifts.
Well, so the funny thing is you really only get the gift if you're a starter. So I only got the gift 3 years. My second year, my third year, and my fourth year. My rookie year, I didn't get one of the gifts from Tony Banks or whoever it was in Washington. When I was in New England, I didn't get a gift from anybody. You really only get the gift if you're a starter, but it is pretty sweet. I've seen some of the gifts these guys get now. They're unbelievable. They get like four-wheelers and stuff. That would have been amazing.
How many plays did you play with Brady?
Zero. I started in all sincerity, I only played. So the Patriots picked me up midway through the 05 year. I only played the fourth quarter of the Dolphins game, week 17, when Matt Castle came in and Doug Flutie did the drop kick. And I played on special teams against the Broncos. You know, that's one of my claim to fame, Dan. I only ever played in one playoff game. And it was the first playoff game that Brady ever lost. Brady was like 10-0 in the playoffs until I got in. And then
did Brady know your name, Ross?
What, say it again?
Did Brady know your name?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, because I think he comes anytime he gets signed, the first thing he does is come up to you and he's like, shakes your hand. Hi, Ross. I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. Like, hi, Tom. I know who you are. And then I was the center a lot in practice. So he would come in the huddle and be like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first. Like, he takes it real, real seriously. So he definitely knew who I was. And then 06, I got traded to Cleveland. So I never actually was in a regular season game with Tom Brady.
Give me that impersonation of Brady again in the huddle.
So before he calls the play, he looks at me. And, Dan, this is like spring OTAs. He's already won 3 Super Bowls. He's like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first, great snap first. And then I'm like 26, 27. I've started 25 games. And I look at him, I'm like, all right, man, all right. But in my head, I'm like, okay, Tom, yeah. I mean, and, dude, I got to say this, Dan. He lives his life differently than anybody else. So I played 18 years of football. I was a lineman most of the time. The quarterback center exchange is so mundane. It's so like you take a ball, you hit your butt crack with it. The quarterback's top hand is there. Boom. Quarterback's like, oh, whatever. I never played with a quarterback that cared nearly as much about that snap as Brady. And this is practice, but like, in his psychopath head, he wanted that, like that smack when you hit the top hand, because that meant it was a perfect snap. He could look at the defense a little sooner, throw the ball. Like, think about anything in life, okay? And you're just doing something to do it. Brady doesn't look at anything like that. Brady looks at every single thing in his life as a chance to get just a little bit better at it and try to perfect. I mean, that's why he is who he is.
You're the best. Hey, happy birthday, Ross. I hope you don't get any gifts today. You don't need
Thank
them.
You, Dan. See you guys. Yep. I'll be back on chat row right now. Shout out chat row and back row.
All right. That's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Nice.
And an analyst for Westwood One. He's so much fun. He is. You know, it's about content. A lot of times when, you know, people may not know who Ross is, I want you to tell stories. And that's content. Because I can have big name guests on sometimes, and then they don't tell stories. But when you get those stories, that's when it's great. Because I want you staying in your car. I want you, you know, Chris Webber is one of my favorites. It's stories. John Smoltz, stories. That's what you want. Al Michaels telling stories. That's when I can sit back and I become just like you. I'm a listener. And then I'll occasionally go, oh, my turn. I got to ask a question. All right, let me take a break. Last call for phone calls. Close up shop after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Ross Tucker, maybe segment of the year so far. Who's number one on the list so far? Number one segment. Was that Sal Palantonio?
He was there for a while. Matt Light was there for a while.
Matt Light was good?
Yeah, Matt Light was really good. I can't remember the last one.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Do you remember McLovin?
Well, it seems like there's offensive linemen are the key. There's one that Seton really loved, and he made a great case for it.
Well,
I can't remember.
How about Russell Wilson?
Impactful, and I don't think that kind of thing gets you in the segment of the year conversation.
Oh, it might be most valuable segment.
Yeah.
MVS.
I mean, it's got a lot of legs there. Like, that's a story that will continue for months. Yeah, Paul.
I got it. The winner in the clubhouse, the leader in the clubhouse right now is Nick Wright as Dick Wrong. That was the segment of the year. I think it was maybe 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that is the placeholder right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because I said, oh, your name is Nick Wrong after he said the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. And he goes, well, why don't you call me what my full name was in high school? And I go, what's that, Dick Wrong? And he goes, yeah.
It's like, what are we, in third grade again?
Yeah.
essentially.
All right, so Nick Wright is in the clubhouse right now, his segment of the year so far.
I love that he is, you could add him to the list of people who, within the first 30 seconds of being on the show, go, why do I come on this show?
I know, he does.
It's like Mannix, like, why do I come on this show? Why do I do this to myself?
Well, it's as soon as I introduce Nick Wright, I always say, Chiefs apologist, and then he'll go, What am I apologizing for? Yeah, McLevin.
The Adam Sandler, Chris McDonald segment.
Okay, McGavin.
That was nominated.
Shooter McGavin. All right. I like that. By the way, I'll be on Chat Row and taking your phone calls right after the show. Did you got to be on Chat Row and just taking your questions here for a little while. 1 year anniversary for when we had our separation from AT&T and went out on our own like a big boy. Look at us.
We consciously uncoupled.
We did. Yeah. We did the Chris Martin, Gwyneth Paltrow.
No hard feelings.
No.
We're just.
No. Jason in Nebraska. Hi, Jace. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Danny and the Danette.
Hi, Jace.
Hope all is well and safe. Just want to request if we could make it mandatory that we have Ross Tucker, Chris Sims, and Peter King on weekly.
Yeah.
And just for safe measure, throw in a Jane Slater. Thanks, guys. Love you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Now, those are all great people, but I love having conversations with people. I don't want to interview. There are times when I interview, but having a conversation, like Shaq was on yesterday, really just a conversation. And Reggie Miller will be back. Reggie and his wife had another baby, so you know, trying to be fair to Reggie and his schedule with two other little ones at home, but Reg will be joining us. If not in March, probably in April, but I wanted to be fair to him and home life, and what's more important. Yes, Bowen.
Of course, Reggie went with three kids.
Oh, I like that.
Eat it, Todd.
I like that. Yes, McLeod. Nice.
Are you looking forward to that TNT documentary that they keep popping up, the Inside the NBA thing? I think it's Thursday it starts.
Yeah, I was interviewed for that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Yeah. I probably spent an hour with them talking about the Inside the NBA TNT crew. And the impact that it has. Because when you start to think it shows, obviously with SportsCenter was up there, Game Day, College Game Day, TNT's NBA coverage. I don't know the other shows that I brought up, and I'm talking about in the last 25 years, impactful shows. And SportsCenter was obviously there, College Game Day obviously there, and what they did with TNT. Like, can you think of another show? Am I missing one? Yeah, McLovin.
Well, all time, you mean? Or
no, in the last 25 years.
Oh, sorry. Not even close.
30 years.
I mean, studio shows are not in right now. You know, they keep moving them around on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of feels like they've lost their impact. Yes, Todd.
And we just got word that Ernie Johnson will join us on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to be one of the topics to talk about what they've accomplished.
All right.
That's also your fault for putting radio on TV so successfully, by the way. That's taken over a lot of airspace that used to be studio shows.
Oh, the simulcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But nobody's been able to replicate a man cave.
They've tried, but no.
Yeah. No, I'm very lucky. Very lucky to be able to have this. There's no other show that's like this, but yeah, I'm fortunate. Great man cave. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Reggie White leaving the Eagles for Green Bay may have been the first time we realized anything's possible. A star player switching teams in free agency.
McLovin.
Ross Tucker never took a regular season snap from Tom Brady.
Seton.
Tom Brady's all about the snap.
Paulie.
Clean snap.
Nice. What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz Vans. Built, equipped, engineered to get ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thank you again. Pleasure to serve you. Talk to you tomorrow. Oh, but wait, there's one more item before we say goodbye to this Tuesday. Guys, when we get to the studio every day, you got to hit the ground running. What's the lead story? What are the angles we're covering? Guest list, all of these things. But you got to have energy here. I mean, I got to keep up with these younger guys in here. These Danettes are a lot younger than me. I start my day every day with M-Drive, supplement for guys who want to stay on top. Powerful ingredients backed by science help me get energized and stronger and leaner. You can hear it in my voice. I'm competitive. I want to be great. Every single day is the Super Bowl. It takes work, takes drive. You want to be the best. No plans to slow down. So how do you feel today? Sluggish, tired, gaining weight, losing your drive? Try M-Drive for yourself. golf everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or you can go directly to the website mdrivedan.com. You can do that today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive.